Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I am one of your co-hosts, Ann Baldwin.
And I am the second co-host, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore from The Connection.
You are not the second. We are both number one.
Fine.
Okay?
That's good.
So everything's been going well. You're enjoying
things
your
are good.
Summer.
Summer's good.
Yeah, flying by, though, isn't it?
It is really
going
by.
Can you believe it's already mid-July? It's just hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
So we're a little bit off topic, but not really today, because this is called The Connection, right?
And correct.
We've been hearing, especially now that we're on again at 9 o'clock, if you're listening, thank you for that. 9 o'clock on Sundays, we've been getting so much feedback from so many people who are listening to the show. And I thought, what a great topic to talk about. And so I thought it would be interesting to have Maria Librio on, who's vice president of Rose Hill, to talk about a conversation that she and I had a while ago about how things are changing when it comes to saying goodbye to a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of hit hard and hit home with me recently because my dad was high risk for a pretty major surgery that he just had. And here I am thinking a number of things. One, you know, what am I going to do if my dad passes? Here I am alone. My siblings are all over the place. And, you know, I haven't prepared for that. Okay, well, the guy's 84 years old, right? I haven't prepared for that.
Right.
I don't know where he would be buried. He's a veteran. Do I want him cremated? What, you know, and in talking to Maria, it's how things have changed. And we're going to get into that a little bit. You remember the days of, I'll go to my grandmother, who I love, love, love my grandmother. We had the best relationship. And when she passed, open casket, church service,
right,
funeral home.
2 days. Used to have that,
yep.
the two full days.
You know, burying her, crying, saying goodbye, sharing memories, and you know, that putting everybody kind of putting their arms around and comforting each other. But are we doing that anymore? So anyway, without further ado, I thought it would be a great conversation to have. And so, Maria, thank you for coming in studio.
Welcome.
And being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and this hit home with you too, Lisa, when you and I were talking about booking this particular segment.
Yeah, recently in December, a close friend, old friend, passed away, and it was sudden. Well, it was sudden. I don't know, maybe it wasn't sudden. He struggled with substance abuse his whole life and mental health. But I was telling Ann that he's on my mind a lot lately, and I realized that when I don't have a place where I can go to put flowers, and it was just like 2-hour service, and they were going to have him cremated, but it was like nothing. It was just, I feel like he's just gone, and I can't.
Right.
And there wasn't a lot to celebrate or talk about of what some of his accomplishments, instead of focusing on, you know, obviously the mistakes that he made. And there's no place to go and say a prayer or sit or, you know, and again, you know, you think about, well, someone stays in your heart and they're in your memories, et cetera. But I think there is something to be said about going to somewhere, right,
where there you can. Is.
And that's what bugs me.
One of the other things is that everybody has to have grief. You have to go through the stages of grief. It's just a matter of how long it takes and the way everybody does that. And ironically enough, before we were getting on Facebook, of all things, it was a quote that came up, and it said, "Grief is the last act of love we have to give those we loved. Where there is deep grief, there was great love." And I was like, that is so what this is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people come in and yes, we used to do 2 days of what used to be called a wake.
Right.
And then we did the funeral service and then we went to the grave and then we had the lunch and then people still didn't go to work for probably a couple of days. And now you get 3 days and it better be someone you knew or was related to very closely or that's not going to happen. We don't always do what's called calling hours really now.
Right.
And or we don't bury. And so one of the elements is people aren't burying. Whether they're cremating, they're not everybody is burying them. So there's no resting place.
Exactly.
There's no record of a burial. So for no one's going to be able to do that years from now, they're not going to be able to find you because you aren't buried. You know, they scatter. Well, that's all lovely, you know, but it's really not always a form of healing. And it may be for some people, and it may not be for others. But, you know, I always look at it as when you go to a service and it's someone you don't know or didn't know well, how do you feel? How do you feel when you are at calling hours, if they have them, if you are service, if the service is the church, if the service is just in the funeral home, is it a graveside service? And there are some amazing graveside services. Is it an open casket? Is it closed? Was it an urn you were there for? Mm-hmm. There's a very different feeling that you have. Well, then what do you think is going to happen when you pass or someone who is close to you that you have to make arrangements for? It's expensive, but somehow you're going to have the expense. You're going to be in therapy because you have to go through the grieving process.
Well, and you know, Maria, and if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Maria Librio, who is the vice president of Rose Hill. And I should also mention that Rose Hill is a combination funeral home and cemetery and the largest cemetery in the state of Connecticut in Rocky Hill again. And they're combined because that's grandfathered in. This cemetery goes back to 1932.
Wow.
And it's acres and acres and acres. And it's a memorial park, which I learned from Maria that defines it as, you know, there's bronze flat stones.
Yeah.
So you can see, you know, mm-hmm. rolling hills and things like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. But you said to me candidly a little while ago, Lisa, that you fear that they just threw his ashes in a jar and who knows where it is.
Correct.
So, and the other thing,
that's happening a lot.
It is because now it's got to be convenient, right? Remember
Correct.
When someone passed, like my grandmother, it didn't matter what it took. You get in that station wagon, you get your butt there. If you got to drive 18 hours through Nebraska to get there for that funeral, you do it. And now it's, well, let's wait till it's convenient. But let's fly all in. Let's go to their favorite mountains or their favorite waterway and just right. throw their ashes in
well,
there.
Well, it's also the way we've structured our society. You know, you didn't work, eat, sleep, bank 24/7. Now you can do all of those things and you're expected to. Mm. And you fall in the trap that that's what companies are operating.
Well, let me ask you, Lisa, you're the president and CEO of The Connection. How many employees do you have?
Close to 500.
Can you imagine? Okay, so 500 employees. And I got to tell you, thank goodness I haven't worked in corporate America for 20 years because I don't think I could do it. But I remember back in the day, and I'm just wondering how it's handled. If someone passed or I had to go away for a funeral, they would ask you, well, who is it? And if it wasn't your next of kin.
They don't ask that.
I mean, I've got friends that are closer to me than my family. You know, whose business is it?
No, we don't. You know, we're probably different in the sense of some other companies or agencies because this our organization was really built on what's the word? Sort of more of like not family, but a really close knit, and we really respect. We respect the fact that people have lives outside of work. And we recently had a staff person, well, maybe it's a year now, but it seems like recent, whose husband passed away unexpectedly. And she called me. It was a Sunday. And she called me and she was obviously devastated and inconsolable. And, you know, again, it, you know, and we've had other tragedies that happen with, you know, staff. The point is, though, that you have to be a human being. And so we don't say it has to be 3 days. In other words, we want people, because the work that we, because life is difficult, right? And the work that we do with The Connection is difficult. We need our staff to be able to function and do what they need to do. So if they've lost someone, we expect them to take the time that they need. It's reasonable, but we don't even at times don't even really look at that. We look at what is happening. You know, it's not so easy. It's not cookie cutter. It's 3 days for you. It's 2 days for you. Is this person related? Is this person not?
Culturally, yeah. What people choose to do is still embedded in those cultures. Very, very much so. I think it's great. I'm part of an Italian family, but you just have to understand. And I will bet that if you actually surveyed the employees who were out for various things, whether it's whoever it was, that the people who felt more closure during that service, however the service was, do better and come back quicker.
You know, like you said, you just love to go sit on a bench by this person or be able to share your thoughts or however it is you want to, mm-hmm. you know, want to heal. So, Maria, tell the story about the woman who comes, what is it, seven? Pat, who
14
comes
days a month.
14 days a month. Tell that story.
A few years ago, she had come in because someone had stolen a plant, it may have been, I'm not sure, but it's 140 acres. And so I brought her to Gilbert Farm, which is adjacent to us, and we got the same plant that she had purchased, and she was excited. And we came back, and I said, do you mind if I sit with you? And I sat with her for 2 hours that first time, and then she kept coming back. And that's how we learned. It's 14 days. Her son died on October 14th. And it's 14 days a minimum every single month. And it's going to be 4 years this October. And she's wonderful. And I think without us and being able to come in, I don't know what would have happened really to her. We are a really big part of her life. So when people even talk about, you know, it's just a cemetery. Well, if you made it, especially at Rose Hill, because we're there 7 days, you know, 6 days a week.
Well, you're there when you need to be
right,
there.
But you're also, we're there working. Right. Some cemeteries, you can't go to an office. Mm-hmm. They're only open. You have to make a phone call and they come and they prepare the ground and you can't really meet with staff. You can come to the cemetery at any time while they're open, but you can't be with staff. Mm-hmm. Well, because we have the funeral home and the cemetery office, we're there 6 days a week. So you can. And that's a big deal. You know, if you're thinking of where you, is one of the options is we're going to look where you're going to be buried, or you wouldn't bury a loved one. And there's a lot to be said for when you come, you have people to talk to.
And so it's that relationship and that being able to come back. As Maria mentioned, it's 140 years. And the other thing is there, and I got to give Maria a lot of credit for this because, like I said, this thing's been around forever. And there's these beautiful monuments there. And you've worked really hard on restoring a lot of those monuments, including this one, which is the Last Supper. It's huge.
We're working on that.
Really?
Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper is being worked on now. So to maintain and to keep things going and keep things so that, you know, you go to a place and you feel inspired. You feel, you know, you're almost nourished by your environment. And if you want, I want to mention, too, their website is Rose Hill Memorial Park, all one word, .com. So as Italian girls,
yes.
If there's a cool thing about a cemetery, this is my favorite.
This is cool.
So you're Italian girls. So talk about this new incentive that you've just rolled out, Maria.
So we have this, our new website that you just mentioned, and we have 40,000 now people buried with us, and we're taking all of our paper records and putting them into a database. And now I have my college kids going on this summer taking pictures of all the markers so that they will be uploaded, so when you pull your loved one, you will be able to find the marker as well. But in the midst of that, you're also going to be able to download, and you can go to the website, rosehillmemorialpark.com, and there's a link. And you can upload photographs, stories, handwritten letters, recipes, I mean, anything you want. And it will go to, it takes 48 hours, but it will be in there forever. And other people will be able to access that as well. And I just, I mean, right, for, as an Italian person,
memory.
Like, that's a memory. Yeah. And I was even saying, Anne, it's not just about just her aunt's, you know, let's say cookie recipe or sauce recipe for Italian girl, right? But what happens if somebody else comes along and says, I knew Anne's aunt, grandmother, whatever. I remembered that recipe. You would never even thought to give it to her, but it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, what would we be able to, the things you could do with those concepts, and you would just have them, but give me a movie, give me, you know, one of the things that happens when people come in.
Favorite song.
Right. Yeah. They come in.
It's kind of like putting one of those little time capsules, right? Remember those things? It's kind of like that. But then for generations and for more people to come, it's just, I think it's just such a cool idea.
Right. You know, so, I mean, we thought that would be, I certainly thought it would be a cool thing to do, and hopefully it, I've had some people that have done it that I've known, and some people are kind of a little skittish right now, but I think that, well, I mean, that's what kind of Ancestry is focused on too.
Right.
And it's about capturing history forever.
Mm-hmm. And it's something, yeah. It's something new. So let's get back to Lisa. Okay. Back to Lisa. And cause I don't know if we really answered your question. So what advice do you have for people out there that it might be feeling like Lisa that are listening to this program that don't feel that they've had closure, or maybe they're jerk boss wouldn't give enough time off of work or right. any time off of work for that closure. And it's also respect. You know, it may not it be is. How close someone is to me, but for example, I had a former coworker's son pass. I felt I wanted to be there to show my respect. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think that people need to do to think about and also to kind of plan in advance, because we never know. You know, here we are almost 59, but you don't know. You could get hit by a truck tomorrow, right?
Correct. And part of your time and grieving is not to be able to sit here and figure out and worry about what you do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to get to the funeral home, when you're going to get to the cemetery, when you're going to pick out a stone or a marker or, you know, or pay for it, you know, and you're stuck with that if you haven't planned. So clearly one, I mean, I'm a CPA by trade too, so that always irks me when we don't have some form of mm-hmm. thought process mm-hmm. of what things cost and how it would be paid for. But obviously the first moment is you go to other people's funerals and you see how it feels right. to be there. So, and then you think, how does that feel? Well, the other thing is then you start talking to friends and relatives. You know, I went and thought I should plan mine because, you know, here's what I do for a living now. And I sat down with my funeral staff. So on the other side of the desk, what to do. And I did this whole process. And then I took it back and I happened to call my cousin. And it was weird because she was like, what do you mean you're doing that? And I said, I don't know. I think in cremation. I don't know. I was just thinking, right? But then what ended up happening is I picked out a particular casket. And she talked about, I feel like I would need to see you. Now, assuming that everything is okay and that would work, because sometimes it's not feasible.
Mm-hmm. So to have an open casket.
Right. So sometimes the reason why people don't is for many
reasons.
Person
was sick or they were in some way. Right.
Yeah, you don't want to leave that as your last visual either. So,
exactly. But, you know, many people are. And, you know, and my uncle had passed last year. So, you know, I knew that was important. I just didn't quite realize what that meant for her. So you go through this process and you touch things and you look at them and you think about it and you plan and you organize it. And then you go look at a cemetery. In fact, I knew my family was at Mount St. Benedict. That's where my whole family is. And not to say that I love Roselle, but I mean, you
want to be where your family
want to be with your family. And so you go and you look at that and you realize, well, how would this work? Now, I already know because I do the cemetery, how many people can be buried in one lot and how that works by cemetery. And so I had to wrap my head around that. I do have a place, right? It might not be there, but I just wanted to make sure that that was doable.
Right. Yeah. And for your kids' sake and for everybody that you leave behind's sake, it's one less thing that
my mother did that. Right. They prepaid and it's
right. And it's planned. So now you walk, you call and they're like, yes. And then they take out a file and it's there. Mm-hmm. And all these things that mom or dad or whoever wanted is there. Now, sometimes people don't fund it. They plan it and it's a $10,000 funeral and they only have, you know, eight in this account and they didn't put anything in the revocable side. So there's not enough to cover that cost. But nonetheless,
it's a good chunk of it.
At least, or at least you have a idea of what they were looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, Murray is also a CPA by trade, if you can tell, mentioned.
Yeah, you said that.
So it's just important. And if you start doing these steps, you know, looking and thinking what it feels like at other places, talking to your family and friends, going to visit that cemetery, buying a lot, Mm-hmm. Just, I mean,
thinking about what charity you want to donate to, too. Maybe in lieu of flowers you want to give to. Don't let somebody else pick that for you. Right. I've made it public what songs I want at my wedding to have. That's about as far as
my mom has, like, the world. It's all planned.
Yeah,
the flowers. Yeah, and literally, I'm like, what if someone puts flowers that you don't like? Mom, well, then they need to be taken out. But it's a different thing because you come from an Italian family. Yeah. I think that that's
it is huge.
It's okay. So even though, you know, you're technically Italian, some people still aren't doing certain things, and I don't know if it's again time frame work. Some people are choosing not to do certain things because they just need to get it done because want it.
It's convenient.
It's correct.
It's painful.
Or is it convenient? It's painful or convenient or both, right?
Or both. And to your point, the your friend who passed because they were unfortunately, you know, addicted and it didn't go well. They didn't survive. I find many of those scenarios you have people that want it just done over, and they're also not capable of talking about it, so they don't want people to really know.
Yeah,
and there's stigma to a lot of stuff, and that's hard because you still need to have their stages of grief.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's true.
Yeah, and there's a lot of suicide now, but you're still grieving that loss, you know. I find it's getting to be, I see more and more obituaries, you know, that are written with the truth, you know.
They say that now.
They say that now, and everything's going to continue to evolve and change, but it's part of life. Death is part of life, and you can't avoid it, and you can't ignore it, right?
Right.
So,
but yeah, but if you do those, start doing some steps, it doesn't make it less sad, but it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you some time, extra time, to not have to be worrying about what would be the plan and the arguing with, you know, his siblings.
Oh God.
You know, if this has just been done, then there isn't a question. It's done.
When my father passed, this was, you know, I was 19. It was just, oh my God, it was awful. It was more traumatic is getting the family wrapped around. They knew he was dying, but I'm not going to get into it. But there was so much undue drama that really my mother and I did not need. Because we were going through this loss and, you know, arguing about it's open, it's not, and who and what and why. And it was awful. And it's unfortunate because I do think that weddings and funerals and things like that can bring out, instead of the best, the worst in people.
Absolutely.
And those are the times when you really need your family to embrace you and to, you know, do the right things. And again, I really feel this way is, you know, you have to treat a person right when they're alive and celebrate things. And if you have unresolved issues and there's other things going on, you know, and you add that to the mix of people's mixed emotions, it's a disaster. And it's just unfortunate to see that happen.
It is.
It's chaotic.
Very much so.
It's chaotic and it's wrong.
But even that, you know, people are nowadays are also trying to take it and they make it easy. So they do that cremation and then they hold these, you know, cremains, ashes, however you want to refer to it. And then they wait. And then they come and they call us and they say, we're just going to do this graveside. We can do it all by ourselves, right? And then they wonder why there's chaos. Because you're already emotional because you're burying your friend or loved one. You really can't. You think it's a very simple thing. Like, you just make these phone calls and you just do this.
But would you show up for your own wedding and just say, hey, we'll wing it?
Right. Because I know how to, you know, do a catering and I know how to set a table.
Right.
And that's not, to an extent it is, but what we're doing, especially when we do even our graveside, we have someone to stay with you through all these phone calls and helping you with stuff. And if it's a clergy member that's coming, worrying about that person, driving everybody up to that gravesite in a certain way so that it's not stressful and staying with you and all of that stuff. And that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to get out of it, you know, cheaper.
Exactly.
And that's not...
It shouldn't be about the money. It should be about leaving the legacy and closure. And closure.
It's really about closure. And if you plan well enough in advance so you have an idea, you know, it It's doable.
It is.
Guess what I'm putting on my to-do list?
There you go.
That. Well, Maria Librio, Vice President of Rose Hill Memorial Park, thank you so much for being here. Some good, useful information for our listeners. And Lisa, it's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to see you.
Okay. And
thank
thanks.
You, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you listening to this edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.